Flying Cool Tech, March 24, 2006.
Welcome to Blind Cool Tech, a podcast that captures aspects of everyday life from a blind person's perspective. Your host for Blind Cool Tech is Larry Scootcon, but you will often hear submissions from other blind people as well. So sit back and enjoy Blind Cool Tech.
You are about to listen to a panel discussion entitled Emerging Computer Technologies for Accessible Math. The panelists are Dr. John Gardner of ViewPlus Technologies, Neil Seufer of Design Science Incorporated, and Mizaki Suzuki of Kaiju University. This was recorded at the CSUN Technology Conference 2006 on March 24th.
Hi, my name is John Gardner. I am Professor Emeritus of Physics from Oregon State University and President of ViewPlus Technologies. I'd like to introduce my co-presenters, Dr. Neil Seufer of Design Science, and Professor Masakazu Suzuki of Kyushu University in Japan. We have all developed products, software, for making mathematics accessible, and today we're going to briefly, very, very briefly, describe what we have done, our own personal developments. But we have passed out a handout of resources that our collective wisdom put together that are things that will result in products that are either already available commercially or available in beta form or will very soon be available to our fairly certain knowledge. And there are a lot of things that aren't on the list, a lot of research projects, and I'm sure we overlooked some, and I apologize for that. For the blind people in the audience, this is a fairly long list, and it would be a number of pages of Braille. It would also be a number of pages of that I have to choose a computer Braille to put it into. This is an international conference. This is an extreme difficulty for me, is deciding what Braille to use in international conferences. So what I did was just to put the URL at the top of a website where this resource page is located. We put a page up on the ViewPlus website. Actually, in order to keep the URL small enough to just fit on one line, the URL is to the publication list, and if you go down to this talk, you will find the resource list with this talk. And I will say that top line is in DOTS plus Braille. DOTS plus Braille is what I want to talk about today, and I'll just do it. DOTS plus Braille is Braille, but it's also more than Braille. It's a lot of graphics. It's intended to be something that is independent of position. So every Braille cell has to be a strong cell, which means it has to have a dot on the top and the left. So if you find an isolated single dot, you know it's an A, because that's all it can be. We can't use drop numbers for, I think, fairly clear reasons. Because in isolation, you can't tell they're dropped. So our numbers are European math Braille numbers, and in order to be usable by everybody, I didn't put any numbers into this URL, but there are dots, and there are slashes, and gosh, I bet you can even figure out which is which. The second DOTS plus Braille example file Carolyn is handing out now. Yes. Hopefully made enough for every blind person in the room to have a copy, and people around you to look at it. So if they're not enough to go around, I apologize. Share a little bit, but there's some examples. DOTS plus Braille was developed to make it easy to display mainstream Braille. So you simply just break mainstream math. So it's very easy to do. Neil, in fact, is going to show you the math player later on how you can... All right. The devil was in my pocket. Neil will show you how you can actually get a DOS-bus display and simply print it on a Tiger Embosser. So it's formatted just like Braille, but instead of letters and numbers, you get Braille. But most of the symbols, like plus signs and minus signs and et cetera, are all the same. So we've passed out an example showing you some DOS-bus Braille, some simple arithmetic, and then some the standard algebra example, the binary, the quadratic equation formula. So I am going to not say any more. We're going to try to keep our presentations brief and leave at least 10 minutes or so at the end, because this is supposed to be a panel's presentation and we're supposed to let you ask us questions. So at the end, we will throw it open and you can grill us on anything you want. So I would like now to pass the microphone to Neil Seufer to talk about design science, math player, etc. Neil?
Whoa.
I'm tethered to you. I told you the devil was in my pocket.
Yeah. Don't do that.
So I'm going to do a little bit of a whirlwind tour of a number of different things. And I apologize, some of you know this already, but I suspect a number of you don't. I'm going to talk about sort of what I envision as the requirements for accessible math, and I'm sure that some of you in the audience are going to be able to add to that list. I want to talk about accessible math and web pages, how you can author that, and then the problems. I'm going to use the word MathML about 100 times today, maybe 200. And I want to talk about some of the solutions that come with that. But to get started, I wanted to also say I was trying to think of something good about having an 8 o'clock talk, because I'm not a morning person, and I finally figured out what the great point of an 8 o'clock talk was, is that it's a leveler. Now we all have some disability. So... to begin with, I want to quickly go over what I see as the accessible math requirement. So if you're blind, you need to have an audio description. You're also going to need to have a Braille math translation if you're a Braille reader. There's a number of Braille notations, and it seems to be, I've learned yet more controversy being at this conference about exactly which one. I thought it was pretty much Nimitz in the U.S., but there seems to be more controversy about that than I thought. You also need to be able to navigate that math expression. You don't want to hear it from start to finish. If it's too long, you need to back up and hear the structure and explore it to understand it better. If you have low vision, you're going to want to be able to control the font size and perhaps the font color so that you can see it. If you have some print-related learning disabilities such as dyslexia, having a synchronized highlighting along with speech is going to help you out. And if you look at this list, you're going to ask, well, what's different from this list and text? And that's kind of my point, is math isn't that different from text. So all the things that you expect from text accessibility, you really should expect from math accessibility. The sort of the only difference is math has some structure that's different from the kind of structure that text has. But just as text is structured into sections and paragraphs and sentences and words, math has structure too. It's just a different kind of structure. Want to mention this again. Everybody probably knows this. There's problems with math images, which is what everybody puts on the web today as an image. And you'll notice that, gee, there's that little small math formula that probably nobody can read. And when I first created the slide, I said, oh, gee, I got to blow that up, because I realized when I made the slide big enough to see. I thought, no, I should leave that small, because that's my point. Images don't scale. I change something, that image just doesn't change. The other problem with images for sighted people is that the image doesn't necessarily line up with the baseline. So that's another problem. The typical way of making an image accessible is to add an alt tag. But since it's not prompted for by most software, it's usually not present. And even if it is prompted for, it's maybe not a particularly good description of the math, because whoever wrote the math down didn't understand the problems of making math accessible by speech. The alt tags don't have navigation, you can't get Braille math out of it, it doesn't enlarge the color contrast issues and so on. And you can't synchronize it with the display. So all of these things are, you know, problems that everybody deals with pretty much every day. But the other point is that this issue here and that issue there of not scaling with the text, that's a problem for everybody. So we're really talking about a solution that solves more than just problems with math for people with disabilities. This is universal access. Good design, good use, instead of images, improves math for everybody. It even improves it for the poor system administrator, because those images are all separate files, and it's a pain to maintain separate files. So if we can put the math in line with the structure, that's great. And the solution to that, and this is, I think, what, the third time I'll say it, MathML. MathML is the W3C standard, an international standard, for putting math in web pages. This math is being displayed with Math Player. If I open this page up with Firefox or any of the other Mozilla-based browsers, it would display pretty much identically. The one feature that Math Player has, well, one of the features Math Player has that Firefox currently does not have, is some accessibility features. For example, if that's maybe a little hard to see, but I can see the rest of the text, I can click on this, and I can enlarge an individual expression if I want to. If I change the size of the text here, if I say, let's make this larger, you notice the math grew with that. It got a little bit larger there, along with the text size. I think it did. Yeah, there we go. Little bug in IE. But it grows with it. Let me set that back down, or the rest of my slides will never fit. And another feature that I can do is I can copy this math and bring it into other programs. But for people that need to hear a speech, I can have it speak.
X equals fraction minus b plus minus square root of b squared minus 4ac and root over 2a and fraction.
So now there's lots of ways to speak math. If you went to Dave Fleckenbach's talk on MathSpeak yesterday, you heard MathML, what's that, five now? You heard MathML being spoken in many different ways depending on the verbosity level, whether you wanted to have it correspond to what you would write in Nimeth code. So the speech that you can generate here is controllable by either the software, or if it's the software smart enough, by the user. John's pushing me along. One other feature is that the math can be searched, too, if it's in this format. So that's another useful thing. I have to say, in case my funding program manager is out here, this work was supported in part by an NSF grant, and I'm very grateful for that. Now, here's the same page, and this looks quite ugly. What I've done is I've switched the style sheet. What I've done is I've switched the style sheet to the Tiger Braille fonts. So this is a 36-point font. One of the things that happens with the math is it doesn't change size, so we have a very large superscript there. And taking this, I can simply say, let's print this. And I'm going to print it to the printer, and because I don't have a printer connected, I'll print it to a file. Let me choose the file. Replace it, and let me get to my desktop. This is a viewer program of what I just printed. Enlarge it so that you can maybe see it better. And if you're a visual reader of Braille, you'll see the dots plus here, and you'll see, as in the handout, here's the graphic, the blackish gray lines are the graphic characters, but here's a B, here's the 2 for the B squared, and so on in there. So this was the only thing I had to do to that page was switch the style sheet, and I could print this out in dots plus braille. We are working with other vendors to support other braille codes, but dots plus is the easiest one to support, and so that's the first one that we have support for. Let me move back to my talk here. I can author the math ML quite easily. This is a Word document. It has some math in it. The math is represented with MathType, which is a very common product. Many of you might have used it. I can just change stuff easily. Get sine squared, say. Save it in the file. I should have saved it in the file. I'm not quite sure what happened there. There. Well, I'm baffled. Worked fine yesterday. It's the gremlins, I guess. And then I can go ahead and create a Internet Explorer web page. So now I've published this, I'm hoping. Here's the Internet Explorer web page of the same thing. And I've done nothing to change this, but it's automatically accessible.
Integral so. From 0 to pi of fraction square root of x over x and fraction dx.
So it takes no effort on the part of an author to be able to access or to make a page accessible. The other point is that the rendering application is the expert on how to speak it. Again, it's not someone who doesn't understand the needs of disambiguating it, and it also can be tailored to the user at the time of them using it, not set once and for all by the author. As I said, well, here's 4 more times, MathML, MathML, MathML. I'm saying this a lot. There's lots and lots of applications that work with MathML, and sort of like 4 out of 5 dentists recommend MathML. Could someone in the audience tell me what the 5th dentist recommends?
MathML.
No, it was
LaTeX.
There we go. And John can't even see what the screen says, so that's very good. So the fifth dentist might say, "Well, I use LaTeX or Tech to produce my documents," and that's a very popular format, text-based non-WYSIWYG format that's been around since the mid-80s. But it's not really a competitor to MathML, which a lot of people kind of think of it as. There are several programs that take text files. I've listed 4 here, Hermes, TTM, Tech4HT, and LaTeX to HTML, all of which I've used at most for a demo, but I've heard people say good things about them, and your mileage may vary. All of which are programs that you run that will produce from the LaTeX a XHTML plus MathML web page. And so it's a conversion technique to put it up on the web. Once it's in MathML, then these tools can work on it. There's a complete list of MathML software. I've written it down at www.w3.org/math/implementations.html. And that list is, I think last time I looked, it was over 90 applications that deal with MathML. So, and I remember correctly, that leads me into, I'm getting there, the chicken and egg problem. So there's 90 applications, and that's great. And they have, you know, bugs of various sorts. Part of the problem is they haven't been used all that much. And the reason, of course, and this is, I think, probably half the room, maybe not 4 out of 5 dentists, maybe 3 out of 5 dentists, blame Microsoft. And the problem is that IE doesn't conform to the W3C standards. So you can't put out a web page as the appropriate standard of XHTML because IE doesn't understand XHTML and doesn't understand the type. Our player, if you have it installed, intercepts it and converts it to something that IE does understand. But if you just author a web page and put it up there and they don't have our player, IE says, "I don't understand this," when you download the file. So it's a problem. Mozilla understands it. If you convert it to a format that IE understands, Mozilla following standards says, no, this is not HTML. So that's a real problem. John's getting up to whap me. I've got my last, I'm on my last slide almost.
Neil?
Yeah.
Does Vista support
Unfortunately, so IE7, which is semi-tied to Vista, on the websites, people really complain about Microsoft not supporting this, and they finally said, yes, we'd like to support it, which is the first time they finally said that, but gosh, that's harder than we thought, so we're not going to do it in IE7 because we want to do it right. Well, it's nice to do it right, but it would be nice to have done it right, you know, 7 years ago when the standard came out. So, but MathML is used a lot behind the scenes. It's in, as I said, lots of software, at least 95, 90, I don't know, wherever it is. It's used in standards. It's in the XHTML standard. It's been there for years and years and years. It's in DocBook, CellML, which is a specialized form standard for biology. If people say, well, if I need to include math, we'll use MathML. It's in workflows. And in fact, it's in the largest publisher of the world, and the largest publisher of the world, for those of you who can read, is the U.S. Patent Office, which is maybe a good sign or maybe a bad sign, depending on your view on patents. But they put out 10,000 pages a week, I think, of documentation, and they use MathML. Now, do they publish it on their website? No, because they want everybody to do it. They turn it to images, or be able to read it. They turn it to images. Very frustrating. But it's there. It's also being incorporated in a number of standards. I'm on a subcommittee. In fact, I chair the subcommittee for DAISY for doing a math extension to DAISY. That involves MathML. We're just dealing with the specifics of how you put that MathML exactly into the DAISY standard. And that should be ready in the summer of 2006. NIMUS is supposedly going to track DAISY when the regulations finally get written. The law kicks in at the end of 2006. The regulations for how you implement that law have not been published yet. So, but the belief is, the current draft regulations, I believe, says it tracks DAISY. So there's a way for MathML to, or for math to be put into the NIMUS standard, and that's MathML. And I think that's going to break the chicken and egg problem. It's, you know, it's in this case, the law is turning into a good thing. It's a chicken and egg problem. Suddenly, content is going to be available, regardless of what Microsoft thinks. And all the DAISY book players that want to participate in this game will support MathML, and all the screen readers and all the magnifiers, because they're going to have the content out there. Right now, nobody really wants to do the content because nobody's really supporting it, and it hasn't quite caught on at the user level because, well, it doesn't work in all the browsers, but that's clearly going to change once the content's there. One other effort I wanted to mention was PDF universal access, so that PDF will become accessible, and math is being used in that. And I'm on my last slide. Trust me, John, it's just a summary. So the current work in progress from our company is we're working on customizable speech rules so that it can be math can be spoken in any language, and it can be tailored to the needs of you personally, or your students, or the publisher who wants to produce a textbook. We're working on an Adobe Reader plugin to make PDF accessible as long as it has the MathML in it, a similar plugin for Word. A number of groups are working on MathML to Braille translators. So, you know, pick your favorite flavor of Braille. If that person was interested in it, they're working on it. There's a number that are in reasonably good shape. And interestingly, there's research on going the other way around. Pick your flavor of Braille, they're translating it into MathML, because that's the standard, and then it can be converted to something else. And it can be viewed by sighted colleagues, too. And as I said, the other big development is there's a lot of interest now. Unlike 2 years ago, there's a lot of interest in getting MathML into the AT software, because people recognize math is a missing component, and they're really anxious to get it to happen. So I think the future's bright. That's so my position.
So, Neil, do you have a microphone? So yes. Would you introduce Masakazu?
Well, to my left is Masakazu Suzuki. He's done, I think the perhaps the most often question I get is, well, this is all nice and fine, but I don't have content that has MathML in it. I scan my documents. And I always say, well, the solution is empty reader and Mazakus.
The person who can read his name better than I can pronounce it,
and the author of that software.
Thank you very much for introduction. I'd like to speak about mathematical document reader, MT reader, which can convert printed document into digitized documents, XML or LaTeX. And the result can be connected to design science product or B-plus product. I'm from Kyushu University, and I'm a leader of a research group, IFTI project. This is a group of researchers from different universities to do the research on mathematical information processing. And we started last year a non-profit organization to support visually impaired people in scientific fields. So this is the plan of talk. I comment briefly about IFTI project, and then I would like to introduce our software with demonstration. IFTI Reader plus IFTI Editor or Chat IFTI. IFTI Editor is an authoring tool of mathematical documents, and Chat IFTI is an IFTI editor with speech output. And finally, the third step, I will explain about the PDF recognition. Now, if the project is main research scope is mathematical document digitization and also interface to mathematics and mathematical knowledge management. So, I'd like to show the web page. The feature of our research project is that not only the research, but we do the system development usable. And so you can find here the download site of our software. You can download IFTI Reader and the editor or Chat IFTI or other things. And here you can see some demonstration site. Here you can see, for example, this is the original page image. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a page of my paper, and this is the recognition result in PDF, output in PDF. In this example, the result is very good. And also, I'm sorry. And also, we have online test site. You can upload your file to this page and get the recognition result. online. So that's a brief introduction to our web page. And the Empty Reader recognizes page images of printed mathematical documents scanned by 400 or 600 dpi. And it segments automatically usual text parts and figures and tables, and then recognize text areas including math. As for the figures, we output only the rectangular area, and outputs in various formats, LaTeX or XML or MathML or human readable text. Human readable text is a simplified text notation. We avoid dollar mark or space commands, which are not necessary to understand the content. And the Empty Editor is usable to as a GUI. So I'd like to go to the demonstration. First, before I would like to show the original image to recognize. This is a paper image of scanned image of a paper in mathematics. And let's recognize this one. Then it takes about 10 seconds per page to recognize.
He's not actually scanning.
The recognition is running. and when the recognition is finished, if data shows the recognition result in this way. There are integrals, fractions, or various symbols here correctly recognized. And you can see below the original image. And you can convert it into tech. Pushing button. This is the result. And then you can convert it into PDF easily from this site also. Thus you can get a PDF file. And let's say next. Okay, another sample. another sample.
Is
a
read it.
I'd like to show is
doing that.
This one. This contains also various complicated mass expressions.
Uh-huh.
And at this time, I'd like to recognize it
that's
and
exactly
output
yeah.
into mass ML. Wait, 10 seconds. Now, the recognition result is displayed on the Internet Explorer using MathPlayer. This is the result. Notation of the limit is a little bit different, but the content is the same. And here, there is. This is the limit inf. Limit is not displayed correctly, but other part are complete. You can see it, this is readable. Now. Using IFT, reader, we can get the many page at once. This is a folder sample. This folder is composed of two folder subfolder, and each folder has TIFF files of mathematical paper, and doing selecting folder here. This way, then it recognizes all the page images in subfolders, and the results are summarized, put together to a file in each folder. So. If there is, for example, a book, and chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and each chapter has several pages, then if running recognition, you can get the files in chapter unit. So. This can be used some kind of batch file. It's very often we have to scan many pages and transcribing many pages. In that case, it is very convenient. This. So you can see here. The recognition result. This page has two. This file has two pages in it. And this folder contains only one page, then this file contains only one page. Now, I'd like to go back to my presentation and shortly discuss about PDF recognition. The purpose is we have two purposes. It is one purpose is to solve the accessibility problem of PDF file. You here know probably the PDF file has accessibility difficulty for the blind. And so using our software, we recognize PDF file, and in the recognition we use the text data in PDF file. So we rearrange the content into a MathML or LaTeX, including math. And the second purpose is that we can use this function to connect our software to any commercial OCR software. Commercial OCR software has currently, today, a very good quality. The recognition rate is high, but not for mathematical expressions. And our software is, to some extent, we can use the recognition result, but the recognition rate of the text area has not reached to the commercial OCR level. So, using PDF recognition, we can get integrated result. Text part is a commercial OCR software, for example, FineReader, and math area is empty reader. So, this is a sample of PDF file. In math area is in this way meaningless symbols, and this slide show briefly the process. We recognize first the in our using our system, and we extract the text data from PDF file and matching using DB matching. We collect the recognition result of empty reader, and then output the result. So, may I have time to demonstrate? One demonstration?
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to show first the result of this is the recognition result of empty reader. This is a broken character, and this is heavily touched characters. These parts are misrecognized. Here also there are some misrecognition. And then, using empty FineReader. Where is FineReader? This one. This is FineReader. I'm sorry. Oh, you come. I'm sorry. I have to reboot. No. Restart the FineReader. you have to set the formatting output in PDF file, 600 dpi, the text under the page image, and save the result, and then import the result. Import the result from PDF file. Maybe where is it? No. This one. Yeah, here. This is the result of Fine Reader and start recognition. Now you have the result, integrated the result. Here, Time Reader also made errors. This is too much touched character. But other parts are completely recognized. And this output is text part are Time Reader as a result, and the mass area part are a result of empty reader. So this is the presentation. So this is the end of my talk.
So. To congratulate the presenters, because we actually did finish early enough for some questions from the audience. So please, so Neil, would you just watch the hands of the
gentlemen on the left? There's a pretty large difference between having 90 projects working on solutions here in MathML and actually having end-to-end solutions for particular user types. So I was wondering, are there scenarios of types of blind people, for example, where you can round trip the whole thing seamlessly? And within that, for example, getting an assignment from a professor, you know, having to scan it in, having it delivered to the blind student, having them be able to easily copy and paste stuff out to create their answer, get it back to the professor in a format that's usable, and at what point is sighted intervention required? Are there some multiple scenarios where this actually works right now, or is it almost?
So you're basically asking, is this ready for commercialization yet? I think.
Can a particular college student actually do this seamlessly without sighted intervention?
Today, I think the answer is no. But you know, that's our purpose in life, is to make this possible. So this is still largely development.
Yes. Two questions with respect to MPT Reader. Most of us who do high speed scanning tend to compress our tips, our PDFs.
Could you say it
a little louder?
Yeah.
You want to stand up and.
Many of us who do high-speed scanning tend to use compression to reduce the file size of
tips
and PDFs.
Yes.
Does MPT Reader decompress properly those tips and PDFs?
Yes. No problem. GIF and TIFF with the LZW compression or PNG are acceptable.
So G3 or LZW are okay.
Okay.
Also, you mentioned that it will do batch processing, many files at one time, yes? Does MPT Reader offer the ability to work with command line so we can set up a script?
Yeah, we have command line version.
You you do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Lloyd Rasmussen.
Okay.
If somebody, you have scanned some material and you've managed to output some MathML for the math expressions, does anybody have any recommendations what software a blind person might want to use in editing the MathML to clean it up? You may need some sight of help figuring out exactly how to clean it up, but maybe not.
If the data can, I think, can be used to edit a MathML document, it has very user interface, and you can edit math document and then convert it into MathML. And we can also read MathML, but this interpreter is still on the way of development. There are some in some special cases it has trouble, but generically it is possible.
One of the programs he did not show was a program called Chatty.
I haven't time, so.
Right,
yeah.
That one is usable by a blind.
Blind, yeah, it's usable by blind people.
And actually, you can repair the MathML. It's a bit tedious for a blind person to do it, but it's certainly doable. I've done it.
What is the availability level of quality mathematical text at this time? Has anybody, for example, produced an accessible calculus book?
Of course, there are lots of accessible calculus books, but which accessible? I mean, you can get a calculus book made into your choice of Braille, and it. I don't know. Who's in the audience?
I'm talking about an XHTML MathML text of a calculus book that could then be retargeted into any format.
And Mr. Kazu, aren't you working on doing exactly that?
Yes. but not so much. I showed the recognition result. They are outputting XML file, XHTML file, including math. So in MathML, there are some ambiguity concerning special symbols. But in other part, it has a unique presentation, unique format. So it can be widely used as the basis of processing of mathematical information, I think.
I think we're at the sort of beginning of content. Again, as I was saying, there's that chicken and egg problem, and NIMAS is going to force that egg, especially if school districts demand the math to be accessible. GH people have a textbook that they've got rights to convert, and they've converted it to XHTML and MathML, but it's not available for distribution. I think they had the rights to convert it to the demos, but I don't think they have the right to sell it yet. So
I think, as Neil said, that MathML is the technology behind the user should not be conscious of the existence of MathML. That's the ideal situation, I think.
Was there another part to your question?
Well, and one of the really big problems I've run into is that a lot of the conversion programs somehow attempt to keep the same formatting in the case. That is, they mix presentation and content, and it really makes it difficult for large print. I mean, we talk a lot about voice output. The large print requires massive read flow problem, together with maybe alterations in line spacing, background color, foreground color, and the ability to change the fonts to something
very good about that. It plays in the XML
or HTML.
The question was, I need to be able to control the font size, the colors, because for large print, and the other issue was reflow of math in it when I have large print. Currently, line breaking is not supported in Math Player and is marginally supported in Firefox. One of the efforts that our grant is going to do is turn the line breaking into in Math Player into quote, world class, which you know the algorithms, I've done that before, so the line breaking will work, so the reflow problems will go away. Yes, for large print, math and ML on the web are great. Some question back here, somebody raise their hand? Go ahead.
Okay, my question is fairly simple. So that you have an eighth grade student who happens to be blind, who now is able to read the quadratic equation. Do we have a player or do we have a tool to let that student then be able to manipulate the equation so that he can solve it himself?
That's a real good question. I'll let John answer.
Yeah, I will answer that. I mean, the answer is no. The question was, okay, now we're getting to the point where we can read math. Blind people can read math. In fact, this is precisely a comment that I made at the National Federation of the Blind had a math summit, Gamma Summit, last, whenever it was,
April.
And at the end of the meeting, I got up and said boldly that the problem of accessibility to math has now changed. Blind people have accessibility, we can read math. The problem of math is now being able to write math and manipulate math. So the Chatty NFT program that Professor Suzuki has and hasn't shown is still in fairly early beta format. Solves the writing problem, and I hope that we'll be able to add some functionality and collaboration with him. The triangle program, which I promised to talk about but didn't, is a very simple text-based program that you put in math markers that has a lot of ability to just cut and paste and solve equations, and it's quite good at that, but it's a question of whether or not that it's advanced enough, and I don't have to know.
I've tried the Win Triangle program, and it seems like there's a compile process to that.
No, there isn't. It's not compiled. It's just straight text, put in markers, take them out. But it's not a very stable program. And the beta seem to be getting less stable instead of more stable. but those are the things under development. We realize there's a problem, and I think there are probably other people who are working on solutions to this problem. But as of today, you can't get anything that really works without a lot of patience putting up with beta software.
My second question is, if you have to be a blind math professor, is there anything that you can present in class? Any tools that are available that you can present mathematical information and be accessible and be in the classroom on the fly?
I can tell you how.
The question was, if you're a blind math professor, what tools are available for you to present to the class your lecture, I guess?
Yeah. I can tell you that every blind math faculty member that I know, from Professor Abraham Nemeth, me, well, I'm a physicist, but I guess I do math, we write on the chalkboard. I actually tried using Win Triangle as a display in giving lectures, and it was okay, but it was sufficiently clumsy that I just quit doing it for a while. The students could actually read it, but there's, you know, it's the same problem. We have one that you can use to manipulate math, and you can put it into a data projector and use it to show your class. But right now you have to write a chalkboard.
Yeah. If you're blind from birth and you have somebody do it for you.
Abraham Nemeth was born blind and he learned to write. I was not born blind, so I can't claim any special proficiency. I just remember sometimes wrong.
So I think we're out of time, and I want to thank you all for coming. I think there's...
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.